Psalm 27, verse 14 says this, "Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Psalm 37, 7 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." I love that old hymn that says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way." And we as followers of Christ, disciples, if you will, modern day disciples, Christ followers, we must be able to learn to trust and to wait. And this is a lesson, I think, of our parents growing up. I think they had attempted to teach us from the time we began to speak and walk and the time of our toddlerhood, if that is such a thing, when all that consumes our mind is, I want, I need, and I gotta have. As humans, I think we're all born wanting. There's a book by the same name written by a fellow by the name of Luke Burgess. And he notes that as we grow up blindly and methodically wanting and desiring what we see others wanting and desiring, and it's only then when we learn that intentional wanting can begin to form our own unique identity and find more meaning in our life, our daily lives. So intentional wanting must contain an element of trust and wait. In psychology, they call it delayed gratification. Delayed gratification is the ability to resist an immediate reward in favor of a more valuable one that may come later. So by learning to trust and wait, people could experience a greater sense of calm and peace in their lives. They could create greater goals, and they could strategize how to get there, and only then could trust in the power of change and to know that when things are less desirable, this too shall pass. You've heard that. People, you know, are challenging and you help them and everything and you give them some good advice. You know, this too shall pass. Look back at your life and see how much junk has passed away. There's researchers that found that the ability to resist impulses and trust in greater rewards resulted in more success throughout life. And we as Christ followers know that when we trust in the power and grace and the promises of God, rather than muddling in our own immediate or current difficulties, we feel more at peace. We feel joy, satisfaction in life. Trust and wait, one could say, defines the core value of faith. So when Jesus and his disciples left the temple, they stood on the nearby Mount of Olives and was marveled at the beauty. It had been a spectacular sight. It was a huge edifice made of beautiful stones and pillars with several courtyards and surrounded with tall, bright oil lamps that gave a hue at night that was just beautiful. It appeared regal and majestic, and it was a symbol of the Jewish faith and strength. So when Jesus told him, not one of those stones in the temple will be left, because they will fall down one upon the other, and it will be demolished. And the disciples, to their surprise, said, wow, immediately? They want to know when and how, what would happen? Well, it didn't happen until 70 AD, but it happened. Jesus does not give them an exact answer at that time, in fact. Later, when he was asked about the times when things will change, when some things will end and others begin, Jesus said pointedly that even he didn't know. Only Daddy knows. Only Daddy's got all that knowledge. But they could do is trust and wait and look for signs. That wasn't their only job. The disciples aren't called simply to sit around and wait for the end of the world or the end of the age, searching for signs and lamenting and praying. No, they were called to go out to continue to proclaim God's kingdom, to create a community in which all are loved and accepted, to heal the sick, feed the hungry, to trust and to wait while doing the work of the very present kingdom. So Christian discipleship and the power of trust and wait does not mean simply watching and hoping for a life after death, although it's a wonderful promise. Simply ones to an endless, silent, just like, waiting for the good part to begin in heaven. So Christian discipleship and the power of trust and wait means this: while living out one's commitment to Christ in the here and now, one knows that life experiences will go up and down, up and down. And sometimes tragedies will come, but that joy will also come. That life is a beautiful gift from God, and that God has called you and me within that gift of life. That no matter the difficulties or the sorrows that you will encounter in this thing called life, God will bless you in ways that you cannot yet even imagine. For our thoughts are not as vast as God's thoughts. It's our limited knowledge. We cannot possibly know all that God has yet to display and to accomplish in our lives and in the world that we live in. All we can do is trust and wait, knowing that God's miracles will still happen. And throughout our lives, God is still speaking to us and all of those around us. All we must do is to carry on with our life in an attitude of trust and wait. Trust and wait keeps us from following temporary fixes and trends and false ideals. Trust and wait means we lower our expectations. We don't expect God to make things go the way that we believe that they should and at the exact time that we imagine. Trust and wait means we have faith that God has a better plan than we do. Trust and wait helps us to love freely without competing or creating our own agendas and goals. Trust and wait means that we don't usurp the role of God and make judgments on our own. Trust and wait means that we can live with peace and calm in our hearts, knowing that God always wins in the end. Trust and wait means stepping back and allowing Christ to lead. Trust and wait means focusing on the end, but finding joy in the meaning of the present. Trust and wait means you know that all will be well in God's time. So it's hard for us to let go of immediate wants and desires. I know that better than anybody, but to put our demands on hold and to stop trying to mold our life in the way that we wish. But when we trust and wait, we put our entire faith in God's grace, God's timing, and we learn we have more time to be the people of God that Christ calls us to be. Oh yeah, we as humans have a limited amount of focus. I have a hard time focusing on a lot of things, but as Jesus told us, we can't serve both God and money, or God and manna, as it says in some of the translation, or any other of our desires. In Joshua chapter 24:15, it says, "And Joshua challenged us, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So the question for all of us as we're getting ready to go to other parts of the weather and other parts of the season, Thanksgiving and everything else that's ahead of us, what about us? What about us individually? Can we trust and wait? Can our faith sustain us in the times to come? Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38 says, "For the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few." Annual conference this year had a very important theme, and I got a lot of respect for our current bishop, Bishop Berlin. And his theme for the annual conference, right after all the disaffiliations and stuff, was to ask the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And I'd like to think that this way: come, people of God, leave your worries behind. Come. God bless the disciples who came, and He will bless us as modern-day disciples if we will only come and serve the Lord.